Welcome back to the Real Talk with Dana podcast, where we talk all things nutrition, health, fitness, and mindset with a healthy side of sarcasm. I'm your host, Dana Monsees of Real Food with Dana. I'm a nutritionist and body image coach, teaching women how to heal their relationship with food and their bodies, ditch the diet cycle for good, and truly thrive with real food, one delicious meal at a time. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Real Talk with Dana podcast. Just one update for you guys this week before we get started. I have created a new Facebook group called the Non-Diet Community with Christina Hoyt, my business partner, who has done Break the Diet Cycle with me, who may or may not be working on a new project with me, but more on that later. But we have created a joint Facebook group together called the Non-Diet Community for community support and episode discussion on this podcast. So if you want to join a community that is going to be supportive of you, A, that's what community support is, on this non-diet, non-restrictive, eating intuitively and intentionally, getting away from diet dogma journey and everything that goes along with that, you can join the group and the link is going to be in the episode description. That's the only update I have for you guys today, except for the fact that I hope you are staying as well and healthy and sane as possible in wherever your quarantine cave is and with whoever you are quarantined. Today's episode is with Chris Dubniak, or Kristen Dubniak, and she is a certified holistic health coach, a certified intuitive eating counselor, and a trained chef as well. So her passion is helping women uncomplicate eating and stress less about food to bring the joy back into eating again. And today's episode, we are going to be talking about Kristen's own health journey, all of the ebbs and flows of her relationship with food and her body, all the way from extreme restriction and binging and fitness competitions and extreme weight fluctuations to feeling like you can't do intuitive eating until you reach a certain goal weight, which is, I know, something that many of the people who listen to this podcast have commented on or maybe thought before, and then finally to finding freedom and balance with food and her body. Well, I'm just going to jump right in. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I am pumped to have you. Behind the scenes look for the listeners, we're recording this podcast and then you're going to have me on your podcast immediately after because, hey, we got the time, so might as well. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me so much, Dana. I am so excited to chat with you for more reasons than one. Just being able to sit and chat with you and then also having you on my podcast is going to be so fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So tell the listeners who may not know you or if they don't know a lot about you, I want to get started by talking about you, obviously, because this podcast is about you. So what were the different models of relationships with different food and bodies growing up for you that were the biggest influence on your own journey?
Oh man, what an incredible question. So it's really interesting. I grew up kind of your average American kid. We ate the typical kind of standard American diet. My mom grew up with a British mom and a Middle Eastern dad who was born in the U.S., but both of his parents came from outside the U.S. And so she had both of those influences when it came to cooking. So she had always kind of, you know, known how to enjoy different cuisines. But my grandma was very plain. She didn't even cook with salt, and she never really taught my mom how to cook. So I was always introduced to these different types of foods and different types of cuisines when I was really young at my grandparents' house. But at home, my mom cooked a lot out of a box and just, you know, the most simple, basic foods. There wasn't really much fun or much interest in food. And so food wasn't really a thing for me most of the time growing up, other than remembering going to my grandparents' house and having some unique dishes there. My great-grandma would cook kibbeh. She was Syrian, and I'd eat lamb chops with mint, which was, you know, British. If you can't tell, food is a big thing for me. So I didn't really feel like I had a specific relationship with food when I was really young, other than the fact that the food my mom cooked was kind of plain. Now, my dad, he was into fishing and gardening, and we were introduced to these really beautiful fresh foods as well. I really loved, and I think it was a really important part of my upbringing. I'm really grateful that add that side to my food story too. But even though my mom, the food that she cooked was sort of plain, and I didn't have, you know, I didn't really think twice about food growing up, at least probably in the first 10 or so years of my life, I do remember hearing a lot from the women in my life, especially about what they should or shouldn't eat, or how much they should or shouldn't weigh, or the size they should be versus the size they were. And even though I didn't really equate that to being to food for a long time, because like I said, at home, food was just sort of food and we ate all types of food. When I got a little bit older, and I was actually in training to be, I had been doing martial arts since I was like 7 years old, and I was about 15 at the time, and I was going through black belt training with my dad. And this was the first time where I was ever sort of taught that nutrition needed to be a part of my training because I was working out more than ever. I was never an athletic kid. I am very uncoordinated. I was always an active kid. I liked to move, but team sports were never my thing. And martial arts was just kind of the thing that fit for me. And I remember being handed this list of foods and taught like, okay, this is what you should eat to feel good when you're working out, when you're doing this extra training, and this is what you shouldn't. And I just kind of took it with a grain of salt because I was 15 and it had never really been a thing for me and put it aside. I was actually about the same time I was a freshman in high school. And I remember at the time, I don't know if they still do this now. I've actually been on a couple podcasts and talked about this and not actually verified if they still do this now. Hope they don't. But I remember them doing these physical tests in gym class. And I remember sitting on the bleachers and waiting for my turn to be weighed and measured. And we had to do things like run a mile and do a pull-up, which I could never do. Again, not athletic, not coordinated. And I remember sitting there and looking down at my sheet of paper and realizing that the girl in front of me was the same height I was, and I was quite a bit heavier than her. So at the time, I'm going through this black belt training, and it was kind of from that moment on that I realized that, or I felt like there was something that was kind of off about my body. Something must have been wrong. If I was that much bigger than her, then something must have been wrong with my body. But I didn't do anything about it immediately because, again, I didn't really have that connection between food and the size of my body until I was going through this training and I was starting to be told like, okay, you need to eat these certain foods in order to perform this certain way. And a couple months into training, I was kind of following what they were telling me. I was making sure I was eating all the bagels and oranges to keep my energy up during my training. And I was walking through the karate studio just to go get changed into my gi for training. And there were these two other moms that were sitting there. And I walked by them and said, "Kristen, you look so great." And I was like, "Oh, thanks." She's like, "Have you lost weight?" And I had to think for a second because I only weighed myself at the doctor's office. I had no idea. I was like, I guess I've been training more. And she's like, "Well, you look great. Keep doing what you're doing." And I kind of said, okay. And I kept walking. And I remember thinking all day long through the rest of my training, okay, what am I doing differently? What am I doing differently? Because clearly, if I had lost weight, it meant that I was good, that something about me was good. And being a kid who never really felt like they had, or I never really felt like I had my place when it came to school or friends. I had this great, wonderful group of friends. I never necessarily felt like an outcast or anything like that, but I never really felt like I had a thing. I wasn't an athlete. I wasn't the top of my class. I just kind of did my thing. I got pretty good grades and I also kind of did karate. And then all of a sudden, somebody told me that I was good for losing weight. And so immediately my relationship with my body shifted from that moment sitting and looking down at my weight on the bleachers to hearing that just, it was a few weeks later, or, you know, it could have been a year later. In my head, it's a few weeks later. It's all kind of blurry now, years ago. But I remember my relationship to food shifting. I remember taking that list that they had given me of foods that I should be eating for my training and taking it a lot more seriously. I remember taking out women's magazines from the bookstore and poring over them and starting to follow everything these women's magazines said. My husband and I were actually discussing this last week and talking about remembering the back page of certain women's magazines where they would share transformation stories and like what these women did to change their bodies. And I would follow them, each and every one, whenever I got them in the mail as my prescription, as what I needed to do to become a better version of myself. So naturally, I decided that if this was what I needed to do to be a better version of myself, and this is what I needed to do to be healthy, I started pursuing nutrition more and more, and I ended up going to school for nutrition. And I went into the dietetics program, which I later ended up switching to sports nutrition because that felt more aligned for me. But going through college and going through the nutrition program where you would think it would help someone, you know, develop a healthier relationship with food, right? Because they're learning about food and they're learning about their body, but it only created a deeper and deeper spiral into an eating disorder. And I never looked at what I was doing as being disordered. And the people around me had even looked at it as being disordered either, because I had heard all those messages from the women in my life growing up that being smaller was better and that changing our bodies was better. And they had all struggled, or it seemed to me that they had all struggled for so many years to change their bodies and to accomplish this thing that I was doing. And then I'm in school and they're telling me that what you should do is help people fit in this certain size and eat this certain way. And I thought, the better I can do that, the better I am. And so I continued to follow the guidelines that I was hearing, but do them to the extreme, of course, because the more I could do it, the better, right? The less that I could eat, the better, the quote unquote cleaner I could eat, the better, the more that I could run, the better. And so I spent most of my, you know, early college years, which is so sad to think about, like sitting in my room, counting my calories or figuring out how many miles I needed to run the next day to make up for the food that I was eating. It was like study, count, run, repeat for the first few years of school. And no one around me for a really long time really seemed to think that there was anything wrong with that. And I think a lot of that came from just the, you know, the other people in my life who, you know, whether family members or friends who also had this really, you know, unhealthy relationship with food and might not have even known it. So at one point, my best friend from high school, she sat me down. At this point, I was severely underweight, over exercising and under eating, and clearly had a problem. But I think so many people were just, they were too afraid to say something to me. They saw me as a nutrition student, so somebody who knew what she's talking about. And my best friend, I'm so thankful for her. She had the guts to sit down across from me and say, if you don't go get yourself help, I will. And I don't know if you listened to her, but I'm really glad I did, because I went to the doctor, and my sweet doctor, who I was actually able to see for the first time in 15 years, about 6 months ago, because, you know, over the years I've moved and I have a new doc now, but the doctor I was seeing then, she hadn't worked with many. I was still technically a teenager at this time. I was 18 or 19. I guess I was 19. And I sat down in front of her and she like calculated my BMI and her eyes got big. And she was like, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're not going to be able to have kids. And I was like, well, I don't even want kids at that point in my life. And so I was like, okay, I was just sort of annoyed. I was like, well, can you help me get back to a healthy weight? And she was like, yeah, I'll set you up with a dietitian. And I grew up in a small beach town in New England, and there was one dietitian outside of the hospital dietitians in the area. who said that they specialized in eating disorders. And so I remembered walking in to this woman's office, and she had me do like a food diary, and I came in and I handed it to her, and she sat down and she looked at it, and she was like, okay, well, you're not eating enough. I'm like, yeah, that's what I figured. I've lost a lot of weight. She's like, yeah, you have. So let's get you back up to that healthy weight. And I sat there with my mom, and she brought me through a plan where it helped me get back up to a healthy weight. And I got to that place in about 3 months. And I remember walking into her office. I followed her plan. I did the things she told me to gain the weight back. And I felt so accomplished because I was healthy. The goal was always to be healthy. It was always to be the best version of myself. And I figured that I'd just gone too far. So I remember going back with my mom and sitting in that office after 3 months and like proudly standing on the scale and telling her how much weight I had gained. And she was like, you did it. Perfect. Just keep it up. And that was that. I was discharged from her services, and I had healed my body, but I had done nothing to heal my relationship with food. So over the years, not surprisingly, the issues with my relationship with food kept coming back again and again. I'm really grateful to have had a really beautiful experience the summer after I had initially quote unquote healed from my eating disorder to go to Italy and spend about 6 weeks in Italy doing a study abroad program. I was learning Italian and living amongst Italians in southern Italy and really seeing the beauty of the way that they ate and the way that they embraced food and the way that they just embraced life and how much slower paced it was and how no one there was worrying about their size. I remember there was one, it was a very, very small town. I said the town that I grew up in was small. I probably met every single person in this town while I was living there with our group of like 30 students. It was a very cool, very authentic Italian experience. And there was this one guy in town who was like the fit guy. And he really kept trying to get us to go to the gym with him. But it's the summer in the middle of Italy. And even me, who used to be crazy obsessed with exercise, was like, I'm not going to the gym. But what was interesting was I grew up at sea level, and we're in elevation at this point. I was on a mountain the south of Italy, and I've never been on a mountain in my life. And I tried to go for a run, which had kind of been my exercise poison to try and maintain my weight during the main part of my eating disorder. And all of a sudden I couldn't run. And it almost forced me to take a step back and go, oh my gosh, I need to try something new and do something different and just be more gentle with my body. I tried to run and I couldn't breathe. And I'm like, well, this isn't going to work. So I spent that summer really embracing food and their lifestyle and this beautiful relationship that these people had with food that I'd never seen before. They loved the flavors, every piece that went into the food. I remember learning and seeing the cows where the milk was produced for the cheese that we ate on our dinner table, and being able to go and learn how to make the dishes that we were eating from the chef at the little restaurant that we ate dinner at every night. So seeing where food was sourced, seeing the love and the joy they put into food, something that, you know, despite having my dad who kind of showed me the garden and fishing and those fresh foods growing up, there wasn't a lot of joy in food. Food when growing up was just sort of, this is what we eat to survive. And really being able to enjoy that experience was, I think, the catalyst for a new level of my relationship with food. Of course, going back to the US, things were shaken up again because I wasn't living in the south of Italy anymore. And as much as I still had that joy, I still had it with me, and that love of food that I had never had before, and the appreciation of food that I had never had before, because when I was going through this eating disorder, it was all about what food could do for me or how food was going to hurt me, quote unquote, if it was going to make me gain weight. And so I still took a lot of that back in with me. It was right after that that I met my now husband, and I remember wanting to cook for him all the time because he was a starving college kid, of course. He was an athlete, so he ate a ton, and he didn't cook for himself very much. Come to find out, both of his parents are excellent cooks, and he just never really picked that up. And so I'm cooking for him all the time, and I'm sharing my love for food with him, and he's enjoying it, and he has no idea what I had gone through 9 months before. I didn't mention it, because at this point, I was so sure that I was healed, that I was fine, and I had this newfound relationship with food, and everyone around me seemed to that was okay and normal too, right? So flash forward about 6 months or so. My husband is 2 years older than I am, and he was about to graduate from school, and my husband's Canadian. And turns out they don't just let you stay in the US as long as you want after school if you're from a different country. But neither of us really realized that. And he didn't try to stay here illegally or anything. He got himself a job here, and he went to cross the border and try and get a visa. And they promptly told him that that wasn't the right way to do it, and he had to go back to Canada and figure it out. So I had been dating this guy for, at this point, about 9 months. And I'm like totally smitten. I have never had, you know, a joyful relationship like this before. And all of a sudden, it felt like the government stole it from me. And it's not true. You know, they were doing their job and he had no idea. And so he went back and decided to work in Canada until he could get a visa to come back to the US. And I've always been a go-getter and a little bit of a control freak, if you can't tell. And I decided that I was going to finish up school and head up to Canada to be with him. And during this time of, you know, kind of my life being shaken up, we had planned this whole life together. We had planned to move in together, and we had all these plans for, you know, my last year of school and all these things that we were going to do together. And all of it was kind of taken away. And that spiraled me into this new season and this new relationship with food that I had never experienced before. I remember growing up and seeing other people in my life with a similar relationship with food, where food was a source of comfort when they didn't know how to deal with the other emotions that were going on in their life. And so to me, it was normal. And because I was no longer restricting my foods, I turned to binge eating to soothe these feelings that I had never experienced before. These feelings of what I now recognize was a depression. And I had never felt that before. I had felt a lot of feelings, but I had never felt like that before. And I was in the process of making a change, but feeling so out of control in my life and not wanting to control my food anymore, I went the complete opposite side of things. And I started binge eating in private for a number of months. And of course, my then boyfriend wasn't around. He couldn't see the change in me. And I'm not even sure if my family saw the change in me, because it was pretty drastic, but I gained a large amount of weight in a small amount of time. And of course, not having healed my relationship with food in the past, when I saw this happening, when I realized the error of my ways, I realized that food was making me feel better, but it was also shifting my weight. And what I had always learned and always known was that gaining weight is bad. Being big is bad. Being in a larger body size is bad. So I went back to dieting. I was going to see my boyfriend in a few months. At this point, I had applied to culinary schools and decided that I was going to go and pursue cooking in Canada. I had a 1-year visa. So I was going to be able to go and be with him for at least a year, which was so great. And so I spiraled back into dieting because, and no one around me really seemed to feel like that was a big deal. Of course I was going to go back into dieting, gain weight. And so it was time to lose the weight again. And so I remember going, you know, back and forth on to in various plans with, you know, friends and family members, and all the while still struggling with binge eating in between. And eventually the binge eating stopped once I moved back in with my now husband and we started our life in Canada, just because that wasn't something that I wanted to do in front of him. And it thankfully that kind of worked itself out, but the dieting didn't. And so I went from having an eating disorder to discovering a more joyful relationship with food to falling right back into a disordered one. And this went on for years through culinary school, which was such an incredible experience. And then through working at a holistic nutritionist office, which was kind of a whole new level of learning about food and learning about myself and my body. I had struggled with digestive problems outside of my disordered eating from the time that I was like maybe 12 or 13, for a really long time, kind of mysterious digestive struggles that all started coming to a head when I moved up to Canada. And I look back now and the trigger was most likely just the stress of moving, the stress of my husband, you know, or my then boyfriend leaving and all of these things, and they were really triggered, and I was struggling a lot with my digestion all the while trying to diet to lose weight, right? And when I started working for this holistic nutritionist as her kitchen manager, because I had the culinary side of things, I started learning more about how food could actually be a catalyst for helping me heal my body, which was never what I had looked at food as. I had always looked at food as being a way to control my body. And so from there, it was a really powerful experience starting to learn how the foods that I ate affected the way that I felt and the way that my body functioned. And these digestive problems, and I also worked with a clinical nutritionist at the time, about a year into working on my own on my digestion, I decided to see a clinical nutritionist, and he really helped me get the last couple of things right in terms of my, and right, I say right in quotations, right for me in terms of healing my digestion. And I, for the first time, if I didn't have these struggles that I had had for so many years, and I decided to pursue holistic nutrition, because at the time I wasn't pursuing nutrition. I was working in the food side of things as a personal chef. And I was working with a lot of people who had special diets, who were going through treatments, and their doctors had them on special diets. And because I had some of that nutrition background, I was working with them. And so it was really cool from both sides, seeing the power of food to heal our bodies and looking at it rather than control, but as a source of fuel and nourishment as well. And so that was a really, really beautiful part of my journey. But of course, through all of this, as I'm trying to maintain this certain body size and living in this really dichotomous relationship with food, where I see food now as something that can help to heal and help to nourish and help me to thrive, but also something on the other side that I need to maintain or else my body is going to get bigger again, I swung over to the side of becoming quite obsessive about my food again, but not in the way that I had before. I wasn't counting calories or macronutrients. I was counting micronutrients and ingredients and obsessing over every last thing in the food that I ate. And I was oftentimes not, you know, eating certain foods. I wasn't eating anything out of a package. Absolutely not. I couldn't eat anything out of a package unless it had like one ingredient to it. And my poor husband, at this point, we were early married and I was going on these, you know, detoxes and these cleanses. I went very quickly from diets to detoxes. And when it came to the people around me, it had shifted again. I was no longer near my family and my friends back home that had, you know, very naturally come alongside me with the dieting and the restricting, but I was now in this new crowd of people and their relationship with food. Many of them had positive relationships with food, but many of them were also, you know, very much like I was at the time, where they were very scared around food. And they were very obsessed with food as well, for the of what these ingredients would do to their bodies. And oh my gosh, what if we ate a preservative? What would happen? And I'm saying this kind of tongue in cheek now. I still eat in a way that feels good for my body now, but it was not just eating in a way that felt good for my body. It was coming to the point of, you know, yelling at my husband because he went to the store and got something from the grocery store that had way too many ingredients in it, and it causing a fight and really causing this divide in our relationship. And he was so sweet. He would go on all of these detoxes and all of these cleanses with me. And my husband has always been a very healthy individual, and his body's always been fairly balanced. He's really not had any major health struggles. He's always been an athlete. He's still an athlete. He's a professional athlete. And so, but he's going on all of these with me, like really trying to be supportive. And he tells me now, he's like, I thought you were crazy, but I was just going along with it. I actually had him come on my podcast with me a couple months ago and share our experience together.
And, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
It was so funny. He talks about in the podcast, he talked about when we went on the Whole 30 together, and this was actually a couple years later, but we had gone on the Whole 30 together, and I remember getting like legitimately mad at him, like having a big fight over the fact that he had ordered a salad with pickled onions and that they might have sugar in them.
Oh man.
And I told him he had to start over. So he ended up starting over like a few days after me, or he ended up going a few days after me because I was like, you have to do this right. Because that was the mindset I was in. So it was really, really, it's been really interesting over the years to see the ebb and flow of my relationship with food based on the people that were around me and what I was seeing and what was normalized in the different worlds that I was in. So eventually I continued working as a personal chef, and then I was also teaching cooking classes and pursuing holistic nutrition. And I was kind of in this in-between where I wasn't quite sure where things fit in terms of my body and what I should do with it. I was really obsessed with eating really healthy food. I really wanted to maintain my body size, so I'd kind of go back and forth between that. And eventually I got pregnant with my oldest daughter, and that was a whole experience in and of itself. It was a really, really difficult pregnancy, which being someone I thought was so incredibly healthy, it was really shocking to have so many complications with my pregnancy and my labor and my delivery. And to be honest, now looking back, she's 6 and a half now. And it took me a number of years after working through the trauma that came with labor and delivery, because it truly was a traumatic experience. I was told a lot of things that I will never forget during that day. Really scary things about myself and about her. Working through all of it, I realized that during that time, during this really difficult pregnancy, I really lost all trust in my body. And I had struggled with trusting my body for years and years prior, but I felt like my body was failing me. I had worked so hard to get to this place of health. I thought that if I was just maintaining my weight and I was avoiding every single possible processed food, that I was going to be healthy. And then I wasn't, and my baby wasn't. And thankfully she came out very tiny, but very healthy. And she's a very healthy 6-year-old now. Thank goodness. But afterwards, after I went through this really difficult pregnancy, after, you know, the first few months of postpartum where everything's life is just a blur and you can't even think about yourself, I started thinking about myself again. And I started feeling like, okay, it's time. It's time to get my body back. I need to do something to get my body into a place that is quote unquote healthy again. And of course, what they tell every mom is that, well, you've got to lose the baby weight. So, and I wanted to do it in a quote unquote balanced way. And so I went ahead and decided to go on what I thought was a very balanced fitness program that came along with a set of nutrition guidelines. Even though I had all this nutrition background, I didn't trust myself because clearly what I was doing hadn't worked. So I trusted someone who had absolutely no nutrition credentials to guide me, which is so funny now. through this fitness and nutrition program. And of course, I lost the weight through it because it was very restrictive and it was just a few weeks. But then, of course, I made those few weeks continue again and again. And I hopped onto another fitness program. And because I had, like I said, I'd never been athletic growing up and I had never really been all that coordinated, this was so thrilling for me to be able to do something where I felt like I was doing something really good for my body. I was getting stronger for the first time since my martial arts training, which I had given up in early college. So that wasn't something that I was doing anymore. And I wasn't running like crazy because I hadn't done that when I was pregnant because that was just too difficult for me at the time. And so I was going on these different fitness programs and I started spiraling into the world of fitness because again, these were the people that I surrounded myself with. I had surrounded myself with this quote unquote fit community. I had an Instagram full of these, you know, fitness models really. And I watched people on YouTube and I followed people on Facebook and I surrounded myself in this world of fitness. And I started going back to tracking my calories and my macros. And I had convinced myself that because I was doing this for fitness, that it wasn't disordered anymore. That, you know, I was making sure that I was eating enough because that was the amount that I should eat per day. And so, of course, I was needing that every day. So I was so convinced that this was healthy. And I decided a couple years in, my daughter was about 2, to pursue a fitness competition, which was a crazy idea looking back, but it was something that I was so sure that I needed to do to really, I think, prove to myself and prove to the world that what I was doing was okay. And what's interesting is that I went and spent hundreds of dollars on a sparkly purple bikini. I spent hours sitting and gluing rhinestones on this bikini because my coach told me that it just wasn't perfect enough. I spent hours, you know, strutting around my living room, having somebody judge me over Skype and tell me that my body was just not quite right and that I needed to keep working harder and doing more. And I wore these like 5-inch clear heels around everywhere, trying not to break my ankles so that I would look perfect when I was walking in front of this room of judges. And I spent months and months working on this and working on becoming this perfect version of myself yet again. And when it came down to it, I didn't want anyone to be there. I didn't want my family there. I didn't want my friends there. I let my husband and my sister, who's a photographer, come and take photos and support me just because I felt like they were safe to be there. But I didn't want any pictures posted on social media. I didn't want anyone to know. I was ashamed because I think I knew deep down that I had spiraled again. But it felt so normal to me. It felt so normal because engrossed myself in this world with other people who also had a disordered relationship with food and fitness. And I understand that fitness competitions are a sport and there are some people that do this for a sport. And I'm sure there are people out there who do it in a balanced way. And I respect it if that's what you're doing as a sport, but I certainly was not. And I was certainly not doing sport or for the right reason. I was doing it to achieve the level of perfection. And I continued to surround myself with people who validated this idea that this was okay. So about a month after this fitness competition, I woke up one morning, literally woke up on a sunny, I want to say it was like late June morning, because it was about a month-ish after this fitness competition. And I woke up and I went to go do my morning workout because I was on a cut. I don't remember what they were calling. Oh, a reverse diet. Because once you finish the fitness competition, you can't just go back to eating like a normal human. You have to go back on a different diet in order to get yourself, you know, in order to make sure that you don't gain excessive amounts of weight. That's what they tell you. And there was so much fear in that. I was like, oh my gosh, well, I can't do that. And so I had this strict workout routine. So I went to go pick up these 10-pound weights that I had used every single morning. And I immediately dropped them on the floor. I couldn't lift up the weights. And I like woke up my husband and I was like, something's wrong with me. And he's like, what are you talking about? You're probably just tired. It was like 6 in the morning. And I was like, I can't lift these weights anymore. And he's like, okay. And my husband's not an early bird. And my two-year-old daughter was sleeping in the other room. And I went and tried to do this workout. And I literally couldn't, I could pick them up, but I couldn't do a bicep curl anymore. I was so exhausted. And so I just decided that I was going to do yoga because I still had to, I had to do some sort of a workout. And I went on with my day. And from there, I started falling asleep sitting up trying to play with my daughter. She's two. She can't be left alone. So we're sitting in my little apartment and I'm falling asleep and I'm getting terrified at the fact that my body is no longer functioning. And so I go and I see my doctor, my just general practitioner doctor. And my doctor is like, well, you could stand to gain a few pounds, but, and you know, you could probably use some more electrolytes. So just drink some more electrolytes and gain a few pounds and you'll be fine. And I was like, okay. So I did that. I sort of gained a few pounds. I let my body gain a few pounds, but I took the electrolytes and I didn't feel much better. And it was during this time that I started exploring. I realized that there was something not right. I was realizing that my body was not functioning, that all of these years of destroying my body, of trying to search for this perfect version of myself and convincing myself that I was normal because of the circles that I had put myself in, that my body was just, it had given up. My body was like, I can't do this anymore. And so I remember, you know, researching some new podcasts, listening the Food Psych podcast with Christy Harrison and listening to her talk to some guests. And when I was first starting to listen to these kind of in the very early stages, I wasn't really ready to take action. I was listening to these women talk about food freedom and I was listening to them talk about intuitive eating. And I thought to myself, okay, I can do that once I get to the weight that I need to maintain after this fitness competition. I was sure that I just had to do this specific diet. And once I got to that perfect weight, well, then I would quote unquote intuitive eat. And then I would be set and be perfect for life. And then all of a sudden my body is failing me. And I'm like, okay, I need some help. And I went and I spent a lot of money talking to some professionals who, you know, basically they were like, you have chronic fatigue. Your body's really just, it's really tired. It's really worn down. The best thing you can do is just take a break. It's to stop working out. It's to feed your body. And it's to allow your body to come back to a place of balance. And I tried doing it on my own. And it was probably the hardest thing I had done because I was so used to controlling my body and I was so used to people telling me that it was okay to control my body. So not controlling my body was really, really difficult. So I, after spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars working with all of these different professionals, my husband's exhausted. My husband's like, we're out of money. You can't go talk to anyone else. And I listened to one episode of the podcast and I was like, no, Nick, I think this is my husband. I'm like, I think I need to do. And I had him listen to it and he's like, sure, whatever. What's money? And so I went and signed on to work with an intuitive eating counselor. And I shared my story with her and she was so compassionate. And the worksheets that he sent me to work on, even in just those first couple of weeks of working with her. I think I was working with her every other week for a few months. And even just the first couple, sitting down and trying to write down a list of these rules that I had put around food and having it trail off the page and turn it over and trail all the way down to the bottom of the page and realize I still had more to write down was so incredibly revealing. No one had ever told me that it was okay to not have rules around food, that my body was able to take care of me without me controlling it. Even in my early days of, you know, being in university and in my nutrition courses, they tell you that you have to eat X amount of this and X amount of that. And so that had been ingrained in me for so many years. And having her start to dispel these myths that I had believed as truth for so many years, one at a time, really transformed my relationship with food. And it was not overnight. It happened on, you know, a number of months. So I worked with her for a couple of months, and then I got pregnant with my second daughter, which was something that I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do, to be honest. I had lost my period for like 2 years at this point, and which I thought was normal. I thought that, you know, if you work out really hard, then that's just normal. That's what happens. And because that's what had happened to me in the past. And thankfully, I was able to get pregnant with her. And after I gave birth to her was really the point where I decided that I would not be doing what I was going to be doing. What I was told that I should be doing is what I mean. I wasn't going to be doing what I did with my first daughter, that I was going to let my body be. And that for the first time in my life, I wasn't going to force my body into being a certain size. I was going to buy jeans that felt good postpartum, not the size that I thought I should be, and try and squeeze into them. And I had actually, during this time, at this point in time, I was working as a personal trainer, and I was helping women with weight loss because that was the world that I was in. And that's what I was doing. It's what felt right to me at that point. And I'd paused that when I realized that that was not right. And that was not my calling anymore. And I was sort of in between things in my career. I wasn't really sure where I was meant to help women. And when I started, you know, when I was in this place of postpartum with my second daughter and realizing that I didn't ever want to go down that path again, I realized that I wanted to surround myself with other women who had also found this freedom with food and who had found intuitive eating and were feeling good in the bodies they were in, and they weren't striving to control their bodies or to change their bodies. And so I dove even deeper into the world of intuitive eating and food freedom, and I decided to pursue becoming an intuitive eating counselor through Evelyn Triboli, and I went through the training with her, which for me, all in, it took about 9 months, but I kind of took the fast track to working with her. I'd already read the intuitive eating book when I was working with the counselor in the past and done the workbook. I decided at this point to work with another intuitive eating counselor because I knew that even though I had worked with one before, that while I was working directly with Evelyn, doing this extensive training, working through the research studies on why diets work and why controlling our bodies is not the way to health, I knew that if there was anything left in me that still felt those rules and those restrictions, I needed to let them go. So I was working with her, and I was working with Evelyn directly on, and just the evidence in and of itself that I was shocked and angry that I had not seen much of it was, you know, I was in school. I started college in 2007. Some of this research was after, but much of this research was prior to 2007. I saw none of this when I was going through school for nutrition and kind of getting angry at the diet industry and what we were taught. And I realized that my passion and my mission was to bring this to other women, and not just other women. I work with all women, but very much so to other moms too, because I saw so many women in these circles I was in. I was in, you know, a couple of different moms groups. I was teaching some fitness classes for moms at the time, or kind of during all of this, and I would hear them talk about how they constantly felt the need to change their bodies, and that they were so frustrated that they didn't lose the baby weight in the time that they thought they were supposed to, or the time they had with the baby before. And they were spending so much time thinking about their bodies and thinking about their weight and thinking about their food and stressing about all of these things. And it was just like it had done for me, was taking away from their life, from their kids, from fully living the lives that they were meant to live. And so I changed the group of people that I surrounded myself with, not those moms, I'm still friends with those women, but I kind of changed the community that I surrounded myself with, and I moved towards help women find the same freedom and the same balance that I had found through finding freedom with food, through ditching the, you know, the diets and the plans and the detoxes and the cleanses, and really embracing intuitive eating and what really truly worked.
It's so important that we share our stories in full because there are so many components of it. And even if, you know, everyone's story is unique, everyone is completely different, but everyone experiences different parts of different stories, and then you bring them together to make them your own. You know, unfortunately, there are so many different parts to our stories where it's not like you just had an eating disorder and then you just got better. Like, it's never, you know, I always tell my clients, like, Rome wasn't built in a day. You didn't get here to where you are right now because you were exposed to one day of diet culture. This has been years and years and years. And that's why I ask about what were the biggest influences when you were young and how that impacted you when you were older, because it's not just what impacts us when we're young. That kind of puts us on the path, but then we have all of these other influences that come in and kind of keep pushing us. And I think it's so important for people to understand that there are so many different kind of points of entry to these different relationships with food and relationships with our bodies. And it's important also to note that, like, an eating disorder or disordered eating or anything along that spectrum, it's not like you just have one thing and then you fix it. It's like, it can take so many different forms. It's like a Pokemon. It basically like evolves and then it like goes back and then it like, you know, it's like an ebb and flow of the water. And I think, you know, it's very topical right now that we're going through like this extreme period of stress, you know, and like a lot of people's coping mechanism is to go back to these patterns that we've had before, exactly like you were talking about in your story. You went through an extremely stressful period, multiple stressful periods, and you continued to go back to those coping mechanisms, whether it was using food as comfort or using food as a source of control when it feels like everything else is out of control. But it's so important to share that because I know so many people who listen to this are going to identify with many different parts of the story and realize that, like, oh, this is why that's happening. Instead of beating ourselves up about it and be like, oh my God, I feel so bad. Like, I'm a bad person. I got stuck back in the cycle. It's, oh, I understand why this is happening. And I also understand that there is a way out. I might not be able to see it right now, but like you said, working with someone and acknowledging that doing this by yourself is near impossible and it's not a sign of weakness, of reaching out to someone else who's had a lot of experience in working with people exactly like you and bringing you gently to the other side by understanding what are your driving factors, what got you here, and how can we start to get you out of it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why I just kept on going and kept diving into the different parts of my story, because I do believe that women are going to connect with different parts of my story, just like they will connect with different parts of your story. But yeah, just that vision that I went through all of these things and all of these ups and downs, and I'm thankful for my story because I think it gives me a lot of compassion for other women and different parts of their story. But if I can find my way out of that mess, I fully believe that no matter how far gone you feel like you are down this path of diet culture, you can too.
Surprise! If you couldn't tell, Chris and I definitely went on talking for longer than this episode, so there's actually going to be a part two episode next week where we're digging into more interview style, a lot of questions that I had for Chris about her journey, what a certified intuitive eating counselor is, and how to actually make progress on this journey when you feel so stuck. So look forward to that next week, and if you are interested in joining the Non-Diet Community Facebook group, everything in there is free, obviously, and of course, the link is in the show notes again. Thanks for listening to Real Talk with Dana. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your family and friends and share the love by throwing us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, which will help spread the word and do a small part to correct all of the fitness and nutrition misinformation or bullshit that's out there, which is only causing people to become more unhealthy. Come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana on Instagram and Facebook. Join the Real Talk with Dana Facebook group for more support and discussion on these episodes, and come hang out over on realfoodwithdana.com for the show notes and totally epic and delicious recipes.